You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Okay, like I said a little bit earlier, I wanted us to open up a couple of conversations around this horrible story that has emerged in Reiger Park, of course, and the pictures and videos that have surfaced as well, Reiger Park Secondary School, of a headmaster who clearly looks and is behaving in a predatory fashion there. Some different kinds of reporting about whether or not he's still at the school and has resigned. We're trying to get on top of the facts, and hopefully Steve Mabona, who has agreed to speak to us, will make sure that he is still available for us in a minute or two. And then I'm going to speak to someone that, in fact, the headmaster, I think, has hired as well as a forensic investigator. So the story is getting murkier and murkier by the minute. But before I speak to any of them, there's a couple of questions that I want us to have a conversation about. You know, because of social media and because of smartphones, certain videos and pictures can emerge. And then we all react with rage and we are all shocked. And then we obviously become a lynch mob. And I understand where those feelings come from. But I wonder whether we can simultaneously demand justice for children who are victims of sexual predators, and at the same time also have a very difficult conversation about our families and our communities. Because presumably there isn't, or am I wrong, a perfect lid being kept on what goes on in our schools. I mean, I remember growing up in Grahamstown, for example, and you'd always have whispers of this teacher, that teacher. Sometimes it's a young teacher who's fresh out of a teacher's training college. So they look like there isn't too much of an age gap between them, say, and a matric pupil. They go to, especially in a small town, to the same disco clubs. And so you run into these pupils. And there's kind of like an unspoken sexual predatory culture that often goes on in many of our schools, and no one speaks out against them because teachers, not just headmasters and headmistresses, have a certain kind of status in many of our communities that shields them from moral censure, let alone the possibility of a mom, a dad, a teenager going to a police station and laying a charge. Now, the most important person to be held accountable legally and morally is the sexual predator and the rapist. Most important. I will not let them off the hook. But we can have that conversation, and presumably also simultaneously we can have a conversation about whether we ourselves often turn a blind eye as siblings, as guardians, as mom, and some staff members who know what other staff are doing who don't say anything. I'm just wary that everyone in a community could have been none the wiser until a video surfaced. I mean, the odds must surely be low. Or am I just wrong here in terms of how much secrecy a predator is able to get out of their victim? Or do we need to ask tough questions about ourselves and our communities in terms of how vigilant we are and whether or not we ourselves are part of a conspiracy of silence? I mean, I want us to have all of these conversations as difficult as they are. And let me say again the patently obvious. All of this is compatible with holding a predatory man responsible for their behavior. But there are hard questions here to be asked about us as communities not always speaking out when we know that someone has a reputation, for example. 011-883-0702, give me a call. Share your stories, your experiences. If you're a teacher, if you are someone who was subjected to this kind of sexual predation by a teacher yourself, did you ever speak out? Were you believed when you did so by another staff member that you thought you could confess and confide in, maybe even your own parents? And if you're in Cape Town, on 021-446-0567, the one thing I definitely do not believe is that what has emerged in the story in Reiger Park is somehow an exception. I don't think so. I suspect this is more widespread than many of us would like to acknowledge. And the entire community here needs to answer to some very, very difficult questions, even as we try and hold this man responsible. 22 minutes before 11. Okay, so the first thing to get a handle on here, obviously, what is fact and what is not yet fact. And on the line with me now is the Gauteng education spokesperson, Steve Mabona. Steve, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. Let's see whether we can get Steve on there today. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you very much.
Steve, bring us up to date here. I'm now getting all sorts of contradictory information, whether the headmaster has resigned, not resigned, is still at the school, not at the school. What is truth and what is myth?
Becoming technical, I must say, becoming technical on since he then resigned and on how the resignation was handled. The latest on the resignation is that despite the submission of that letter, which he was serving notice, he then continued to be in the employment of the department. By that, meaning that he continued to attend schooling. And as such, when we look at the documentation administratively, it then nullifies the resignation and deem him as he was still in the employment of the department. So hence the suspension that was, you know, given or offered or given to him on the Friday where he was summoned to the HOD's office. It means it's effective. So we are now pursuing the dismissal process, which will then be saying we will not be allowed to be in the system. So that's what we are doing now as a department.
Okay, I don't follow. It does sound very technical.
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm saying technical.
Now. Well, let's take it step by step. Firstly, is this man on the school premises as we speak?
No, he's not in the school premises. He is suspended.
Okay, he's now suspended. After he had given the letter of resignation, was he back at school at some point?
Yes, he resigned, but because there was interaction between him and the circuit manager on how to manage the resignation, he found himself still in the employment because the notice was not automatically served, because he then continued to be at work even after the date that was supposed to be the last day. So that nullifies the notice so meaning that effectively the resignation does not hold. So as a department, we'll then continue to interact and make sure that we pursue the dismissal.
Okay, so he hasn't yet been dismissed. A dismissal case is now happening?
Yeah, definitely.
And what does that process involve, Steve?
Well, it involves him being given an opportunity to explain on all the allegations. And you'll know that each and every employee must be given an opportunity to, you know, indicate on what has transpired, and we'll then take it from there.
Okay. Now, in terms of the evidence, what is the prima facie evidence of rape or sexual violence or sexual predation that the department has seen?
Quite difficult again, because you need to work with parents and the learners involved. But then the information at our disposal is that those learners that are seen there, they matriculated one in 2015, one in 2016. Now, it then pushes back the years to say this thing has been happening for probably more than 2 years. So that's what we'll be pursuing, just to check, because we've been saying our psychologists on the ground and our NGOs, they've been working at the school just to make sure that we don't probably have other learners who will be coming forth to say this is what I want to say. But quite difficult and sensitive, because we then need to work with parents, and if information is not forthcoming, it becomes difficult, because such cases, you can go and open the case, but then if there's no other people who are participating there, it becomes a challenge for that case to even succeed anyway.
But in the resignation letter, on what basis was he tendering his resignation if there was no acknowledgement of wrongdoing?
Probably it was early retirement, I would not know, but probably saw it coming because there's an allegation of when we were probing, there's an allegation of extortion that is coming our way as well. So I mean, thing has been happening for so many years. You can tell that some people probably knew about it, but then you're asking yourself, how can such a thing happen for so many years and people are not aware or they're not saying anything about it?
Have you seen the content of the resignation letter, Steve?
No, I haven't seen it.
Is that not a little bit weird?
Yeah, well, the district gave us the information that he resigned, and there's other documents that I've seen from the department which gives the date and the two dates that we have. We have the second when the resignation letter was forwarded, because for us it was enough to say where is the document that is supporting that resignation. So we have documentation that we have seen which has the 2nd of October as the date that was put in the system. And then the second date was the 15th of January, which was supposed to be his last day at work. That I know. I have that information.
Okay, but this is very strange. From a process point of view, if someone tenders a resignation letter and you accept it immediately, then presumably it's effective immediately.
Look, hence I said beforehand that this thing is technical.
Yeah, but we're working through the technicalities. We know it's technical. We're now being logical. Someone writes a resignation letter. If you accept it, it presumably kicks in, unless, of course, you and your political principal haven't got the content of the letter, which would be surprising, because the one thing you and your principal are very good at is fighting fires. I'm shocked that you haven't seen the content of the letter.
No, but I didn't say he didn't see it. I said I didn't see it.
So on what basis are you going to communicate to the public if you're none the wiser?
No. What I've seen is the documentation in the system, which has your necessary forms that are filled by the employees to say, if one resigned, here's the form. It's there. I've seen that document. It says the 2nd of October. That's when the resignation was submitted. And the last day was the 15th of January. I can attest that I have that information.
Steve, I want you like you because you're very likable, but I must say for the first time that I've spoken to you, you don't strike me very confident on this particular issue. Let me ask one last question. No, I'm just being dead honest, and many of my listeners are saying the same on Twitter. You're coming across as if you have a very scant regard for the facts of a high-profile case. Can we talk about the evidence? There are videos surfacing. There are photos that are surfacing. And it seems like one of the tactics of this headmaster now, and we're about to speak to your forensic investigator, you may want to listen to that conversation after this final question to you, that they are going to be using all sorts of deception technology to try and doubt the veracity potentially of the videos and also of the photos. That's why I'm asking you about the evidence. The videos that have surfaced, does the department have a view on the authenticity of the videos and the photos and also of the claims of sexual impropriety on the part of the headmaster?
Can I not enter into that part of the evidence? Because remember, like I say, I told you that this is becoming technical, and I don't want you not to like me.
Steve, whether you like me or I like you is neither here nor there. Both of us have a job to do. Let me ask the question more simply. I can shut up and you can dig a deeper hole for yourself. The bottom line question for the community of Reiger Park is simple. Does the department accept that there were girls that have been victims of sexual predation, or do you want to be agnostic about that question?
No. I'm saying to you, I need to repeat that this is becoming technical. And we need to leave it to the investigators, our officials who are working on the case to lead us into that. And we'll be in a position to come and say this is what is transpiring.
As you and I speak, the department doesn't have a view on whether there are girls that have been a victim of this headmaster. It's complicated.
We have the evidence that two of the learners that are depicted there, they matriculated one in 2015, one matriculated in 2016. That's for effect we do have.
What do you have?
We have information that the two learners, they have matriculated in 2015 and 2016. That's why I'm saying this.
What about those learners?
Probably in 2 years.
What happened to those learners?
I'm saying the officials are still here. School. We are working with the school to just determine, check on what is the latest developments when coming to those learners. And the investigation continues.
You said something happened to two learners who were in matric in 2015. What happened to them that
15,
you know?
15 and 16.
What happened?
No, it is confirmation that they might have been indulging, you know, with the alleged principal.
Indulging? What do you mean indulging?
Indulging in sexual intercourse.
Are you hearing yourself, Steve?
Yes.
School learners indulge in sexual intercourse. Is the correct description not school learners are victims of a sexual predator?
No, look, but I'm saying, hence we are saying here, the interaction with the parents and learners is continuing. So we need to determine on that is the veracity of the information, and we will continue to avail information as per you know, the information that is available.
Yeah, Steve, I'm not going to lie here. This is not a good day at the office for you. Go and do your homework, my friend. Come back. I'll give you an open mic. I'll shut up and then inform the public when you're better prepared.
Thank you.
Okay, 6 minutes before 11. I've got way too many of your calls. Maybe we can talk about some of this tomorrow in the open line. We'll come back to the issue. I'll replay that awkward engagement with Steve. Not to shame Steve, but actually because the language that Steve's used is very instructive about low levels of literacy, about sexual violence, sexual predation, how consent work, doesn't work, and also the power imbalances between a headmaster and a school child, quite frankly. And not all of them are necessarily teenagers. On the line with me now is Kobus Swart. Kobus, thank you so much for holding on.
Thank you very much.
Kobus, just tell us who you are, and my understanding, correct me, is that you've been hired by the principal in question?
That's correct. I'm the director of Truth and Deception Technologies. And yes, we've been hired by the principal to look into the allegations.
What is your speciality? What do you guys do?
Okay, so amongst other, we specialize in digital forensics, and we will be doing a digital forensic analysis to identify or look at the authenticity of the video material and the photos in question.
So you're a digital forensic expert, basically.
I'm the team leader, yes. We've got a team working on this matter.
Okay. So why did the principal hire you? Is the principal of the view that the material, that the videos and the photos, that they are inauthentic?
That is our stance, what we're looking at, or the stance of the principal, that the photos as well as the videos are not authentic. And we, without making an early call, we will be going through a process to authenticate the authenticity of the photos as well as the videos.
Does he deny having had inappropriate sexual relations with school children, or does he only deny these particular videos, or did you not even ask him that question in getting the scope of your job?
Yes, in terms of the scope, you know, one will never go into a situation that you get surprises. So one of the very first questions was to have an open discussion with the principal with regard to the allegations. And he was very clear to me during the initial interview with him that he had no sexual intercourse or any inappropriate relationships with learners or other women as surfaced in the videos or photos.
And from one man to another man, you believed him, no?
Well, it's my client. I'm doing the investigation, and I'm standing, I'm neutral, and I'm only working the integrity of the individual, and the integrity of our company is imperative. So, I can only comment, once we've done the authentication of the videos and of photos.
I suppose we'd have to speak to the headmaster directly. Maybe we can get his details via you. I don't want to ask you all the awkward questions that should go to him, but it does raise one obvious question. Why would a bunch of children who have a lot to lose by saying that they are victims of sexual predation, maybe even, why would they have a massive conspiracy against a really, really cool, amazing headmaster in a community who does amazing work? Did that thought ever cross your mind when your client briefed you?
Yeah, when there's our opinion is, or my opinion is, that there's much more at stake than the eye meets and what the community sees. And there might be somebody else behind, and that's why, as part of the investigation, we're going to try and establish the origin of this material. So it could be a conspiracy led by somebody else within the community or outside the community involved in trying to discredit the headmaster.
Okay, we're going to leave it there for today, Kobus. I get you, Vuardini. I get next me and Fyuta Frani. Thanks for coming on.
Only pleasure.
Tito was it, George Koch.